Our next speaker is Carolyn Bergstrom. Carolyn was born in San Diego, California, and she was raised in Phoenix, Arizona. After escaping the lower 48 and a long stint chasing fish around as a graduate student in British Columbia, she moved to Juneau now 3.5 years ago for a research job as a biologist. She likes growing food, stained glass windows, unusual people, spicy curries, and rock and roll. She never planned on staying in Juneau for more than a year and would like to tell you why she stayed, but in the spirit of today's theme, isn't going to, because it's a secret. Carolyn Bergstrom.
Hi, everybody. So I'm a biologist, and I teach biology here at the university, and I do a little bit of field biology in the summers. And too quiet? Is that better? Okay, I tend to yell when I give talks, so let me know if it gets too loud, because I don't want to. Anyway, so I never would have thought when I was growing up as a kid that I would have ended up being a field biologist in Alaska, because I grew up in Phoenix, and I was a total child of the suburbs, right? Like, I was the epitome of the city girl. And I was a teenager in the late 80s, and spent a lot of my time riding around in Trans Ams and rocking out to Def Leppard and playing Dungeons and Dragons, and I had a perm, you know, like, it was a city girl. And so when I think about it now, like how I got from there to here, being a field biologist in Alaska, it's even becoming, like, with every year, it's becoming more and more of a secret how that happened even to me. Some people, you know, maybe you're one of them, but when you're a kid, some people know right away what they're going to do. You know, they're like, oh, I'm going to be an architect or a car mechanic or something, and they just go straight there, right? Well, that's not really my deal. That's not what I did at all. I did a bunch of switchbacks and changed my mind a bunch of times and made a bunch of mistakes, and my path kind of looked like more like a bunch of curly cues and stuff, you know. But so here I am. But one stop along the way from there to here for sure was going to graduate school. And I went to graduate school on Vancouver Island in British Columbia. And I had this major advisor in graduate school, was like effectively my boss. And he was a real bear. He was like a psychotic, workaholic, control freak maniac, right? And he was super hard on everybody who worked for him. But I respected him. I kind of revered him, actually. But I was just completely terrified of him at the same time. And so that was a trip to deal with. And then at the same time, I started dating who became, at the time, my longtime partner, my long-term boyfriend. And he wrote me a poem when we first started dating that said, "Roses are red, violets are blue. May the itty-bitty fishes let their secrets for you." And I thought that was pretty cool, you know, and it sort of summed up my attitude at the time of being like a newbie grad student, overconfident, and thought that I could solve all the secrets of nature and the fish that I studied. So one of my first jobs in graduate school was to go up to the Queen Charlotte Islands in BC and hike out, 2 days hike into the bog to this one lake that has these little teeny itty-bitty fishes in it, and collect 50 of them alive and then bring them back to Victoria and make them swim and measure how they swim. And I could only go to this one lake out in the middle of nowhere on the Queen Charlotte Islands because these fish were extraordinary and there wasn't anything like them anywhere else in the world. And so I packed up my boyfriend and my dog and my 1983 Sentra and went to the Charlottes and hiked 2 days through the bog and collected the fish. And I had to return them alive, right? Like, that's alive, underline alive. And so I had to put them in the tank in the little pack, and we hiked them out 2 days in the bog, and then drove onto the ferries, 8-hour ferry ride to the mainland, and then a 1,000-mile drive, because I didn't have any money to fly, a 1,000-mile drive back to Victoria, keeping these fish alive in a rubber tub in the backseat of my 1983 Nissan Sentra. And so as we're driving, like, every mile, they became more and more valuable, you know, and so, and I was obsessed, and my poor boyfriend, I was obsessed, and like every couple hours we'd pull over and I would feed them, make sure they had enough oxygen, you know, and baby them, and they were doing great, they were all doing really well, and we made it all the way back down to Whistler, 1,000-mile drive, right, and we were on this highway, it's like a bunch of switchbacks and Winnebagos and two lanes in the mountains, it was just like dizzying. It was sort of like my career path a little bit. And we got stuck behind this Winnebago and couldn't pass him. It was taking forever. We were going to miss the ferry and stuff. And so Chris, he passed him and did this like super acceleration and then swerved back into the right lane, you know, to avoid a head-on collision. And when he did that, the whole tub of fish spilled over in the back seat. And so at this point, like, my personal investment in each individual little fish was about $5,000 for each little fish, you know. And I thought if they died, I was just going to get fired and I was going to die or something. And so I screamed and we pulled over and I jumped out and I opened up the back seat and the water swooshes out and all the fish swoosh out with them. And it's in the summer, so they're like flopping on the asphalt in the highway. And they're like in between the cushions, the back seat of my car, and they're on my dog. And I'm like, picking fish out between my dog's toes. And I managed to salvage about 2 gallons of water. And we put all 50 fish in 2 gallons of water, which is not very much water for 50 fish. And we just kept going. And we made it back to Victoria. I went to the lab and I set them up in a tank, and you know, not one of those little fish died. Not one little fish. Well, I found one between the cushions of my car 2 months later. But that was the only one that died, right? It was incredible. And so I had to make this decision at the time whether I was going to tell this secret of what happened to my boss, who I was terrified of. And I decided not to. I decided to just not tell him anything. And so I did the experiment and it worked, right? And I solved this little secret of the fishes and I published it. And it got published in a journal, right? And I was like, whew, that was close, you know. And so the day that the article came out and they told me it got published, I decided to go ahead and tell my crazy boss this story. So I mustered up all my courage and I sat down and I was like, Tom, this is what happened. And I told him. And he just paused, and then he looked at me, and he nodded, and he said, well done. And I was so relieved, you know, like, have you ever seen the movie Babe, about the pig that chases the sheep around, and he at the end of the movie, he wins the day, he saves the day, and he chases all the sheep around, and he wins the herding competition, and his human owner looks down at him at the end, you know that part, looks at him, and he says, well done, pig. And I sort of felt like that, you know, it kind of summed up the nature of our relationship as well. But anyway, so it all worked out, you know, and I got the paper published and the fish didn't die and I didn't get fired. But you know, one thing I never was able to figure out, one secret that has continued to be hidden from me, is how those fish survived that 1,000-mile trip in the backseat of a Nissan Sentra and being spilled out on the highway in between my dog's toes. It's just incredible that they could survive that, and I've never been able to figure that out. And it's like one of the cool things about being a biologist, one of the cool things about observing and admiring nature, is that for every little secret that gets exposed, there's a whole bunch of other ones that get brought to the forefront that we'll never be able to figure out. And personally, I think that's the best way for it to be. But that's it. I'm done. That's my story.